Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, Francis Brennan is one of TV's most loved personalities. He and younger brother John, who together run the five-star Park Hotel in Kenmare, have been appearing on RTÉ's At Your Service since 2008, helping to make over B&Bs and guest houses and small hotels all over Ireland. While John looks after the financial side of things on the show, it's Francis who's responsible for the inspections, and his meticulous attention to detail is, of course, and rightly so, famous. So it's no surprise, really, that someone had the idea of getting him to write a book, giving us his guide to life. And by that I mean, of course, the right way to do just about everything, I suppose. Because, of course, you know, Francis is a man of impeccable manners and taste and has a great philosophy when it comes to life. So it's The Little Things, Francis Brennan's Guide to Life. That's what the book is called. And it's full of gems, from matters of etiquette to, I don't know, how to correctly position a toilet roll, to great advice on what to wear to an important interview, etc, etc. Francis, you're very welcome to the programme.
Dave, great to be here.
Good. Now, first of all, did you expect ever to write a book? Was it an ambition of yours? How did it come about? I'll put on the kettle while you answer those three questions.
Yeah, and make sure you make the tea properly now.
That's
in the book,
that,
Dave.
Right.
That's in the book.
Right,
okay. Anyway, just
yes,
say,
I
did I ever want... No, I never thought to write a book. And now that I see it in print, I can't believe it. Because I think, God almighty, was that in me? If you know, people say there's a book in everyone.
Yeah.
But I never expected to write a book like this. I thought one day I might write a book of funny stories and travel incidences that happened to me all over the years, because I have a few of those that go down fairly well. And that was in my mind. And I had written two chapters. Like, that could be 10 years ago. But you know, it's very hard to sit down at a white sheet of paper and write.
It really is.
You and I are much better at the talking now than the writing, I'd say.
Indeed. We'll get to that too.
Yeah.
Hold on. Just one thing about that is this, that I just remember now, of course, you did the programme on TV that people would know all about going around Europe.
Oh, I did the Grand Tour, Francis Brennan's Grand Tour.
Yeah.
I did. And that, you know...
Was everybody really nice?
Yeah, I got on fine. Ah, you see, no, editing is a wonderful thing on a TV show, because they can edit people to look much more worse. More worse. That's enough. My God, my English should be right. Worser. Is that just good? Well, worser than they really are. But no, I enjoyed that. And I didn't really have too much trouble with the people, although it looked as though I did.
Right,
but in reality,
yeah,
I was well able for it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Except the only thing is, we did 10 days trip, cameras and all the rest. And one day I changed my clothes 11 times in the back of a bus at 86 degrees in Italy. And it really wasn't that enjoyable.
It's not exactly what you would recommend people to do. This is a matter of interest to him. Like, I have it here. It's The Little Things, Francis Brennan's Guide to Life. This would be an absolutely brilliant little book in terms of a Christmas present, a stocking filler, even better than that or whatever. But if a partner gave it to another partner, do you think in any way at all they'd be trying to actually be sort of goading the partner?
There'd be loads of things in it that you wouldn't have to say, that she'd just be able,
would be just
able to read. And it's a very subtle way of getting it across.
It is.
But really, the book would suit a 14-year-old, because I've written it in a nice, easy style. Granny would love it, because it would be all what she would be trying to teach the children.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, it covers all age groups from 12, 14, right up to granny. It all starts, I always think it starts when you're 2 years of age, when you're eating. If you're eating properly, sitting at the table or in your chair, and mum and dad are feeding you properly and dealing with it properly,
That
is the way to go forward.
Okay, it's not about breeding. It's not about, like, kind of class or anything.
No, not at all.
We're
not
just talking
one bit.
Manners.
It's
here.
Just actual manners. And you get it from the start. Small little things like that. And if a child hoovers a room as one of his tasks of the week, and it's not hoovered under the sofa, say nothing. Just say, you did a great job. You know, no, give them praise.
Okay, but...
You don't look so you ever hoovered, Dave. I'm worried about you now.
I have. Now, hold on a second. Do you find yourself, as you get older, more kind of right-wing about the way kids are?
Yeah, to a degree. And especially in the hotel business, I notice it a lot. Because, you know, when people come to dine as a family in the hotel, you can see where they're coming from. I mean, there are certain families that come to stay with us, they're just absolutely a delight. And then there's other ones, the children never sit at the table, they're out to the toilet, they're running out to reception, they're running out to the garden, they come back in. People are... just don't know how to handle their children.
Well, on that level they are, and they're holliers. And the biggest thing that you haven't mentioned, I would have thought there, is the bugbear of the 2014 year is just this.
Oh yeah. Well, you see,
on the mobile
if
phones.
Absolutely.
All the games.
Yeah, absolutely. I quite agree with you. They're all square boxed eyes looking at these games.
Yeah.
And you know, if I go for dinner with a gang of people, I actually say, would everybody turn off their phone?
Yeah.
And if you need to use it, go out and use it outside. Because sitting at a table for dinner and everybody playing on the phone, even at our age, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's really disrespectful to everybody else there.
No, I must say, so far I'm agreeing with you entirely. I'm sure I won't as we go through this conversation.
We'll find something.
Okay, well, let's stay with that for a second in one way, but go on. Because like this day and age, life is less formal. No question about it. It's a lot more casual, a lot more relaxed, for good or bad, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
Why do you think it still matters what way the toilet roll is facing, or which side of the pillowcase is facing out?
Well, now, they preceded all the book, okay, but they've become... actually, it's the cover of the book has a toilet roll on it. Could you think of anything worse in life? All right. The reason for
it, you can I didn't see that. I see a teapot and I see a big duster or something, a tray.
And a toilet roll. Do you see it there? Yeah. When he said to me, "Oh no, not the toilet roll. It's going to follow me." You know, I was telling other people that's what if you die in Kerry today and you're a good footballer, you know, your jersey and your football comes to the coffin, all right, and all those things. But when I die, I want to bring a toilet roll and a pillowcase because the pillowcase is very important too.
Yeah, right,
but
indeed.
It's what you call it. It's one of those things. No, I mean, it's not important for the toilet roll to go one way or the other. The thing about the toilet going the right way is that you don't waste the toilet roll. Right. Now, you love this, you're right.
If the toilet roll
goes the wrong way and you pull it, the weight of the toilet roll against itself will only allow you to pull two slices off. Right?
That's Archimedes' principle.
Is it? Oh, God.
I have no idea.
The Christian brothers would be delighted with you. But if you know what I mean, you only get two pieces off. Two pieces are useless, so they're wasted. If it goes the other way, isn't this desperate that we're talking about this? Oh, my God. If it goes the other way, you get five slices at once and everything is grand.
Okay, all right, okay.
Points. Are you blushing?
No, by the way.
I think you're blushing.
You didn't see the thing the other day, I think over the last month or two on the internet, of the man trying to show his kids how to put on a toilet roll. And says he couldn't talk to them properly because they don't talk to him, they don't communicate, but he can communicate on what he calls social media, which is where they communicate.
Yeah.
He showed them how to put on a toilet roll. It's fantastic, Francis. I must have a look.
So where is it on?
Well,
YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah. Man puts up toilet roll. I don't know what it's called.
God, I say he must have listened to me 2 years ago, did he?
He probably did indeed. Yeah, he's going to do loads more. You see, that's next for you. A book.
Oh, yeah.
Then the King of YouTube.
YouTube. Oh, yes.
The Manor Man. Yeah. I can see it now. Anyway, just on the word manners, you say the manners begins at home and it is from the parents, first of all.
Yeah.
So let's leave out the kids for the moment. The advice for the parents, or what can you say to the parents?
Well, the parents, you see, the problem now, Dave, is that we're in a generation where the parents might not even know.
Yeah.
That is a problem. And therefore, we've lost a whole set of rules and regulations that are gone out. But for parents that are starting out, it's great that they could start out right and start with Johnny at 2 years of age and take it from there. I mean, I don't know where I was the other day. It was at a supermarket and I saw this child screaming his head off and banging his feet, and he was a year and a half, for a bar of chocolate. And then his mother gave in and bought it to him. Sure, he's going to take the head off her when he's 18.
Well, what did you want to do? Beat the crap out of him?
She should say no sweets midweek, or she should have said that to him when he was a year old, all right?
Like, that's all very well, France. It doesn't always work like that.
No,
you know?
I know it doesn't always work, but it's a happy medium.
And you might give out if the public tantrum kept going. She stopped at the public tantrum.
Yeah, but she hasn't got him in control before.
She was thinking of everybody else. You have to sacrifice one for the greater good of the community.
I was sitting looking at it, all right. No, she didn't. She just gave in to him, and giving in is the problem.
Okay, like one of the things, just to go back to one thing before I go into the cup of tea, which I do want to talk about, and it's just like the whole idea of manners and the whole idea of being good to other people. You mentioned that all. That's really what it's about. It's about like a sense of community, being caring, considerate, etc. And if you think about it, the only thing that unites the 4 billion religions that are out there across the world is that very thing.
Absolutely.
It's just like be good to other people, do unto others, etc.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was, what you call it, funny enough, after my chat on television the other night, I was went to Mass on Sunday morning, and as I was coming in the door, the lady in front of me held the door for me and gave me a wink, as much as to say, I'm bolted the door for you.
Excellent.
I thought, good on you.
And there wasn't a puddle outside if you could put your jacket on.
No.
Would you think people should put puddles on jackets?
No, that's a bit extreme now altogether. But you could lift the woman over the puddle.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be very nice. And like, was the altar boy wearing runners?
Yeah, I'm not mad about the altar boy wearing runners, especially when they flash.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, that's really frantic. Yeah, ding, ding,
exactly,
ding. And you're kind of not, is that the Sacred Heart or is it the runner that's going? Do you know what I mean? The red light?
I do. I was an altar boy for years, you know.
Yeah, but I bet you wore proper shoes.
I wore proper shoes indeed, under my soutane.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, let's get back to the cup of tea.
Right.
Because one of the things that's clearly so important in this nation of ours is how to make a good cup of tea. And you've got some tips of that in the book. I mean, does it really matter what kind of teapot you use and all that stuff?
No,
and
not
what,
really.
What happened? I mean, you were of the generation that didn't know, and so am I. Tea bags came in and people said they're never going to do that. Nobody is ever going to stop working in a factory for 15 minutes and stick a shagging tea bag I'm probably using bad language, bad too. Into a cup or into a mug or into anything else. They will use tea leaves and let it brew.
Yes.
Now, where do you stand on tea leaves, tea bags, brewing?
I actually don't. Funny enough, I only use fresh tea myself. Okay, and in the hotel we only use fresh tea. Okay, right. But then you have to have a strainer, so that becomes a little issue at times as well. Right. So you have to have that. But I like fresh tea, and the way you make tea is very important, because people nowadays don't understand that if you're making a pot of tea, Okay, let's go buy a pot. You boil the water. Yeah. Okay, you warm. You take some of that water and you put it in the pot you're using. Now, whether it's a china pot or whether it's a stainless steel or silver pot, doesn't really matter. But when you leave the water to warm in that, then you throw that out. Then you put your tea in. Okay, I always put a teaspoon in per person and one extra. That's what I always do.
Yeah.
And then you bring that teapot to the hot boiling water. You don't bring the boiling water to the teapot because you lose nanoseconds of boiling time. Are you with me?
Oh,
you
look I'm completely you look with positive, you. But I know so far, so yeah. me, even, okay. even though I must say I'm a teabag person in the last
that's fine.
25, so anyway, 35 years. but yeah, no, I get
Barry's
you.
Barry's
yeah.
a love you. Barry's
yeah,
a love you.
I'm still with you. Go on.
And then you pour your water in to the teapot. So it's boiling when you do that. Now, I have a Naga. Do you know a Naga cooker thing? Do you know what that is?
So do I.
Oh, isn't that great?
Watch it.
Yeah, good man. So it really boils like mad, all right?
Yeah,
so it really is a great. It is. So I pour it in then. And then you leave it to brew. Don't pour it out immediately.
Now let's hear this leaving to brew bit. Okay, so basically a spoonful. Like
per
full,
person.
Per person, plus an extra bit, just for good luck.
Yeah, always.
Okay, then you leave it to brew.
Yeah.
For how long does
for
one leave it
to brew?
Maybe
3 or 4 minutes is quite sufficient, all right? And then you pour out, okay? Now some people like their milk in first. That's only a kind
oh,
of...
Oh, no. God, no.
No.
That's for God's sake.
What I love?
Where were you brought up?
No, but people do like the milk in first.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I
don't like my milk in first, and I'll tell you why. Because I love to see the exploding milk when it hits the tea. Did you ever look at that now? Did you ever have a see-through cup and see it? It's absolutely most brilliant little second of life.
Were you a snap, crackle and pop person when it came to Rice Krispies just to hear them snap, crackle
porridge.
And pop?
We were porridge. Yeah. Okay. No, we didn't think. But no, it is true. Do you know when you have a see-through cup and you put the milk in and it just that gorgeous?
I actually don't, but go on.
I do.
I've seen a see-through.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen
and it just looks lovely. That's a little treat in life. I don't get that every day.
I must get myself a see-through cup.
Yeah, no, you know the ones, the Pyrex ones that used to be around years ago.
The Pyrex ones,
yeah.
indeed.
But then, and then you drink away and chat to your friends.
And then you drink away and chat to your friends. Is that what you do?
That's it.
Is that steps 9 and 10?
I love it.
I love it. By the way, you do have just a bread. Are you a toast person? You
toast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like toast.
I mean, you wouldn't be like five pages on toast and have to do the right toast or anything, no?
No.
No,
not at all. I bet you toast on the agar. Do you do it on the agar?
I do sometimes on that. Have you got one of those
clampy
yolks?
Thing, yeah. What do you call that?
What do you call
steel clamp.
It's like a little tennis racket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Two of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's terrific. Doesn't it make nice toast?
They do. And sometimes there's tiny little squares, though.
Yeah.
Because the thing has squares.
That's right. You're very stylish.
It only burns
the
bit. The
country would be delighted with the pair of us.
Okay. Let's keep going. We're talking to Frances Brennan here, of course. The book is out at the moment and it really is fantastic and funny. It's The Little Things. Frances Brennan's Guide to Life is what it's called. So let's take a look. Let's go bigger than just a cup of tea for a couple of friends and a chat. Steps 9 and 10. Let's go all the way because a lot of people get really stressed out about hosting a dinner party.
Oh, yes.
What's the advice in the book about how to do it properly?
Don't get excited about a dinner party. And if you are an excitable person and don't cook very well, you can do the following meal. You can do lovely smoked salmon on brown bread. You can do an Irish stew which you make the day before, and you can do trifle for dessert, and you have no work to do on the night of the party and you have a great time. So don't stress yourself out about doing, and everyone will say to you, a trifle, I haven't had it since my granny gave it to me. Okay, so they'll absolutely love it. Do you not like trifle? You have that look in your face.
I wouldn't like trifle.
You wouldn't like trifle?
No, that wouldn't do
it for me. Where were you brought up?
I was brought up in Mount Marion in Dublin. I see what you mean, sorry. Where was I brought up? I was brought up in a very damn good family. Watch it.
Yeah, but lovely lovely trifle. Was it not on the
No, I don't like trifle.
That's fine. But you know what I mean? If you have a situation that you're worried about, right? And a piece of cheese you can have then as well if someone's
when you say worry about a situation and we're talking dinner party, is there really that much of a difference or should there be in terms of planning between a formal and an informal dinner, or are all dinners really informal and should be?
Well, they have become informal, I think, to a degree.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's probably a good thing because it takes the pressure off people. I was invited once to a beautiful formal party in London, in England. Right?
What are we talking about? Downton Abbey kind of thing? Is that formal? I mean, but they do get loose in those things too. I mean, as loose as Downton Abbey times.
Well, they do. Well, I never lived in the Downton Abbey time, but you know what I mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. We won't go into that now. But if you have an easy party, I got a lovely invitation, and everything was gorgeous, and I went to my party anyway, and it said on the bottom for carriages at 12:30. And I spent the whole night delighted that I was going home in a carriage because it would be so exciting around London in a horse carriage. But that's not what it was at all. They write it on the thing to tell you to go home in a taxi at 12:30. That's how they tell you to go home in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very
like a little kind of a nudge, a reminder the day before, the week before.
And I can tell you there was nobody there at 12:31 because they go home when they're told, not like our crowd, they'd be here all night and yapping and talking. And you know, when you're going home in Ireland, we're desperate for being on the street. Bye-bye! bye, see you, bang doors, cheerio, bye bye. Very bad.
I'm with you on that one too. Absolutely. Just so now get the hell
time,
out.
The next time
quietly.
Go quietly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's no need to barb the horn at 3 in the morning. I know you're gone. You said goodbye.
You're out the door. You're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, now hold on a second. That whole thing about like we do be after yapping till 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning.
Yes.
Would you be against that? Would you,
no.
Isn't that who we are?
Yeah,
isn't that
absolutely.
Great? Isn't that one of the good things
great.
About us?
Yeah. But you know, sometimes it dies a death. When you have a party and it runs on longer than it should, sometimes it's better to close the party at the height and everybody goes home delighted.
But nobody closes the party. This is the point I'm making.
We had a man.
Which your invitation that you got earlier on to London, that closes the party because it says it on. But people don't close the party, do they? Like, get out.
A man by the name of Redmond that has a, you know, an off licence there in, do you know the Redmonds in Ranelagh? You do, I'm sure.
No. Go on.
Anyway, their sons are there, Aidan and his brother. They used to, there was 9 of them. I was at all their 21st. They used to have a disco in those days, which was brilliant because nowadays, you know, there was no such thing as discos. Those in the house, there'd be 60 people. He'd come in at 1 o'clock and he'd say, out the door, you're gone, the lot of you, go home. We all went home on a high and we always thought it was the best party we were ever at.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of a plus in it.
No, absolutely. By the way, we're just talking about like kind of manners of people at parties there. In terms of the food and all the rest of it and that, there's plenty of advice in the book. Just exactly, don't fret over it. It's easy to do it all, especially if you do your stew the day before is the main thing. And then all the other stuff.
Absolutely.
Like
don't worry yourself and into an early grave about
salads,
something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all.
And nowadays, so much convenience available. You can buy everything in a back packet now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. As well as in the home, Francis, you look at manners in the community. You look at what it takes to be a good neighbour, if you like. So, with all of that, what's
community.
Going wrong? Yeah.
It has gone wrong because people don't even know who their neighbours are up and down the streets,
true.
I believe. Now, listen, I live in a field in Kerry, so I'm not a good example of who's up and down the street.
Your neighbours are cows.
They are, actually. And sheep, actually. Mostly sheep. Right. So, I'm not a good example. But little things like at my sister's.
I was going to say some of my neighbours are cows, but. Go on, what? Yes. Sorry, take that back.
People live in estates nowadays mostly, okay? And things that cause the biggest problem, bins, wheelie bins. Do you ever have a trouble with a wheelie bin?
In what respect to trouble?
In that it kind of floats over on your side of the driveway and you can't get in your driveway, you get out and you pull back Mrs. Brown next door's wheelie bin.
But
people get very exercised over that. I wouldn't either. I just move it. I'd probably put it into our garden.
Look what's happening in Syria, for God's sake. It's just bins at your gate.
But listen, people get exercised over that. People get exercised over noise, okay? Now, last night my sister was out in her own estate. They meet on a Monday night and they were pulling weeds. Do you know what I mean? So they're great. Their estate, they go out, they get volunteers.
Oh, in the daytime?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant, I thought we were still at night.
No. They pull out, they do it like they do, and they have a lovely estate.
Yeah.
Now, it's a great way to do it. It gets a sense of community, and everybody partakes of it. I suppose there's one or two that doesn't. I don't know if there is or isn't. But everyone partakes of it, and it's a nice thing to do for your community. It takes you half an hour or an hour on a Monday morning or whatever day it was they went out. I don't know what day they went out.
Would you give out to the Ebenezer Scrooge type person who mightn't want to get involved? They're just not the type who want to get involved.
No, I wouldn't give out to them. I'd just pass them by and leave them alone because 1 in 40 doesn't really matter. And there's no point in getting yourself exercised over that. Let them off.
So in many ways, in terms of community, what you mean is local area where you live.
If
it's an estate or whatever.
You know, in Kerry, and I'm serious, we have the GAA and people give out by the GAA, but you know what it is, they are fantastic for bringing the community together.
Absolutely.
People wouldn't maybe notice so much in the city, but when you're in the country and there's not an awful lot to do, the fact that there's a match on a Saturday or a Sunday and you have training on Tuesday and Thursday and parents meet parents and we all get together, and then when it comes to the football championship times and you see kids putting up flags and bunting, it's just a marvellous community.
But I mean, so many things are like from Macra right around to GAA, etc.
There would be. And they're all very important, especially in the country where people are not, as I say, I live in the middle of a field, I'm not near anybody.
And would you be of the opinion that a lot of people who live in the more urban areas are people who don't necessarily know who lives on the road with them? Because if you are, you're right.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. No, it's great to know your community because you never know the day or the hour you might need to help them. And also, if you have a neighbour that's maybe retired and a little elderly, it's nice to look out.
Yeah.
And say to them, can you get them something? Or, you know, listen, small things in life, all this, as says the little things, add up to a big thing. And that's what it's
about. Indeed. Okay, well, let's get out of the home and let's get out of the dinner and let's get out of the community. Let's go further outside. Stuff really interesting in the book about people in cafes, places that have Wi-Fi. They buy one cup of coffee, they sit there for 3 hours drinking it and surfing the web on the iPads. I mean, is that bad manners? I don't know.
No. But it's to be considerate to others. When I would be in a place like that, I look around to see that if there's tables free, there's not a problem. But if the place is
packed,
what
I mean,
but that's you. You have to know that within the community of that cafe, you need to move on because there are people looking for seats that are real customers.
But you have a rule: buy something at least once an hour if you're going to be there for 3 hours.
Absolutely.
Buy three things.
Yeah, you know? No, I've never spent 2 hours in a cafe on Wi-Fi myself. But I think if you're there, you do owe the house, be it a cafe or a restaurant, whatever, a turn by giving them a purchase. And then that's fine. I was reading there somewhere where there was a group of Chinese or Koreans in New York that buy one thing of chips and they all take one chip and they spend the whole morning on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the BBC News magazine here calls it e-freeloading. Okay, Frances Brennan is who we're talking to. The book, which is brilliant, is called It's the Little Things, Frances Brennan's Guide to Life. The tips for getting the most out of just a few last ones: a taxi journey keeps everybody happy, the driver, the customer, etc.
Yeah, you shouldn't sit in beside the taxi driver,
yeah,
I don't think.
I always do. But
do you?
Well, if I'm by myself, I always do.
Do you? Yeah, no, I never do.
Other people,
I always sit in the back. And if I don't want to talk, I tell them I'm doing something here.
Yeah.
That's
and would you tell them to turn down the radio?
Yes, I have. Sometimes they have, like, you know, Middle Eastern ding dong do, and I don't really like that. So I say, would you mind turning that down, please? Thank
right,
you.
Okay.
Fair and enough. That is you're entitled to that. It's your space for that time. You're paying for it.
Yeah. No, that is completely.
But I never get in beside the driver. No.
Yeah,
if I do, it means there's three in the back, if you know what I mean, like there'd be four of us.
Oh, no, that's right. What I mean.
But you know, if you ever get, you always have to pay the bill. Do you ever notice that?
Oh, I do, always. The first guy in pays the bill, no question. And what about tipping? Should you always tip?
Yes, always.
And what do you do a percentage?
No,
what about,
I
go back to the cafe, would you do a percentage in America? Like, it just is the way it is, and that's fine, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's much safer, it's good. Every time you get a pint in America, you put a dollar on the bar, kind of thing, you know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's just the culture there. Well, I always tip in Ireland, but I would always be 10 or 15% always.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I would. And sometimes I leave it in cash. You know, I pay credit card maybe for the meal, whatever, and I leave the tip in cash because then I know that the girl's going to get it or the boy.
All right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, just any more taking photos and things? People don't ask for autographs to famous people anymore. It's all selfies.
Oh, it's all, yeah. I don't do selfies.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, somebody, there's Frances Brennan. Really?
Yeah,
you don't do selfies?
No, I don't do selfies, okay? Because
no, I'm asking you to do the selfie. I'm asking the other person.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, because they, what you call it, they always mess with them kids. They'll turn them upside down, sideways, take our trousers off, put a red hat on you, or whatever they do, all right? That is true. God knows what positions they have you in, Dave. You've done selfies. So I won't do a selfie. I'll take a million photographs straight on, but I don't like a selfie.
Okay, would you sign an autograph?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
come on yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, not at all. Anytime, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well, listen, Frances, it has, of course, been a pleasure, but I'm not finished yet. If you were to sum up the most important things that people can do every day to be happy, mannerly, and make the world a better place, what's the summing up? What would you suggest?
Just be nice all the time. That's with the doorman, the restaurant waiter, the bank clerk, everyone. Just say thank you and be nice. Hold the door and start that way and then build up on your niceness.
And a smile goes a long way.
And I have a little challenge for you now, Dave.
A challenge for me?
Okay. I'm coming on the Breakfast Republic on next Tuesday.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, on the program.
And I'm going to give you three challenges now.
All right.
Would you be able to join us?
The first is get up out of bed.
Oh, yeah, because it's an early one. All right, okay.
Okay,
well, you have to talk slower.
Ah, why?
No, yeah,
you have to think faster. Look, life is slow. Or sorry, life is short. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused. So, come on, you've got to get with the program.
All
right, okay, I'll talk slower.
Now, I was talking to your dearest, right? And she tells me that you drink milk from the container. Now, Dave, honest to God, that's...
Hold on a minute. In
this age of Ebola and all of that, you're putting that milk back into the fridge with your little lips all around the counter.
I know.
And your dearest, your young one is coming then having it on her cornflakes. And if you have a dose of the other, she might get it. So, would you do that? Okay. So,
into the jug
on the table. Okay. Can you do it for the week?
Hold on. Whoa. Wait a second. Just wait a second. If I go out for a meal anywhere, which I don't necessarily go that often, but I don't drink alcohol really.
No.
I don't like beer with food. I don't like heavy liquor anyway.
Where do you
go with
the drink?
Hold on. I don't drink wine, so therefore I drink water when I go out.
Right.
Now, when I'm at home, I like drinking milk when I'm eating.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. Now, you're going to say, well, stick it in a glass.
Yeah.
Fine. There's a thing. Like, I know, like, we grew up with bottles
of
milk.
That's a college
glass
thing now. When you were in college.
And you get them in cartons, or you get them in the ones with the big, huge handles on them. I like the ones with the big, huge handles on them.
The 2 litre jar.
Because I drink a lot of milk. Yeah, the 10 litre jar. Doesn't matter what it is. So I'd have that there, and I feel like I'm Lee Marvin in the Comanchero, swinging it down. I love it. I go, and I put it back down.
It's slightly uncouth.
And in fact, I'm not finished. Much as I love it, that's uncouth to interrupt. Much as I realise it's not great. Great. And I do make one concession. I don't necessarily put it back on the table. I put it on the ground beside me. So
oh, glory be to God. And the dog licks it.
Actually, I do have a dog. No, he doesn't.
No, well, we don't
anyway,
know.
I like drinking out of those things. I like
for
the
one
feel
week, try
thing.
Now. I'll be checking. Try that you don't drink out of the milk. Okay. And then the last thing.
Yes.
I've seen you many, many times. Carrie, what is in the plastic bag that you carry?
Oh, CDs and stuff. And just, I should
now
get
listen.
Oh, by the way, I actually have a CD box thing proper, like a flight case
box.
At home.
You need a little bag. Now, bags are all the rage, and they have gorgeous bags.
What do you want me to do? Wear a man bag? I hate that man bag stuff.
Yeah, go on. Louis Vuitton, send us a nice bag
here. Hold on, you go to certain gigs of certain bands, and they've all got man bags. The guys who are kind of balding on top with a little beard, so are 22, realise that we
and they all have their business
somewhere.
In the bag. They have their, like, their.
But, like, I have a bag. It's a supermarket bag. It's there. It's fine.
Stop it. Anyway, they cost money nowadays, so you'd have to be.
They do.
Yeah.
You're
there's
right.
A present for you now for Christmas for Dave. Okay. A man bag.
A man bag. Yeah, right. Don't know if I need that. Anyway, okay. So and to talk slower, stop drinking milk from the 2 litre plastic bottle at the table and get a man bag by Tuesday.
All by Tuesday.
Okay. I'll come in on Tuesday and I'll tell you how well I've done.
I did a shout out now for the bag, so you're sure he's getting off of some bright spark down Grafton Street. I hope they're listening.
All right. Well, listen, Francis. I'll see you then. I'll have to get up first of all out of bed. I'll see you on Tuesday morning on the breakfast programme in terms of Breakfast Republic on 2FM at some stage, maybe 8:30, or I don't know what time.
They'll tell us.
It's the little things. Francis Brennan's brilliant guide to life, part one. By the way, there could be an annual event, maybe.
Oh, not annual. God,
well,
great enough.
I mean.
No.
Just as a matter of interest, when this came back from the printers, finally, and the publishers, and it was sitting there in front of you.
Yeah.
Did you kind of like a little baby or something?
I did.
Like, did you admire it for days and days?
I felt it. The cover's lovely.
And you went through it and you smelt it. Did you?
Yeah. No. And you see the way they have it done. They have it done with the printers. Yes.
I do.
It's very
you have to look at the side of it. Well, yeah, the side.
Where you used to write your name when you were in the Christian Brothers.
Exactly.
It's just
universe, all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's nicely done. No, it's just great. Listen. There's a book in everybody, but when you see your own book, it's a great day.
Indeed it is. Well, Francis, it is a great day, and congratulations. Just the little things. Francis Brennan's Guide to Life, perfect Christmas present. Thank you a million times over, Francis, for dropping in, as usual. Good luck in the Park Hotel. Say hello to John, and I'll see you on Tuesday morning in 3 or 4 days, whatever
right,
day's
Dave.
Time it is. All right, good luck.
Thanks again.
Thanks a million.